The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Bruce Valange. Remember on Hollywood Squares, the guy to the left of Whoopi, if that's possible? I'm listening to John Orlando on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 360. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD cast. I had a very busy weekend this past weekend with a couple of events that I attended and participated in. Saturday afternoon, NOW, New Ohio Wrestling, had another big show over in Whitehall, and it was really a great afternoon of some great indie wrestling, so definitely check out New Ohio Wrestling anytime that they come to town, and you can keep tabs on the company by going to their website, newohiowrestling.com, or check them out on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram, at New Ohio Wrestling, or they're on Twitter, at New Ohio Wrestling. And just as a side note, if you're somebody that's not listening in Ohio and you love pro wrestling, I don't think I need to remind you of this, but definitely support your indie wrestling promotions, okay? Yes, there's some good ones. Yes, there's some bad ones, but support your favorite, okay? Because without the indies, you know, there would be no John Cena or Randy Orton or CM Punk or whatnot. So just keep that in mind. You get the opportunity, support your local indie wrestling promotion. Now, the other big event that I'd like to talk about is, of course, GalaxyCon. I got the opportunity to moderate a few panels on Friday and Saturday. And I want to thank, of course, Michelle and Victor Dandridge and all the fine folks at GalaxyCon for giving me the opportunity. It went really, really well this weekend. First kicked off Friday night with the Star Wars After Dark panel, which is what it kind of sounds like. You know, was there sexy in the Star Wars universe? The audience and I debated and talked about a variety of wild topics that kind of wrap up into that main theme. But also had a really good Star Trek panel that I moderated. Doctor Who After Dark, which was kind of like Star Wars After Dark. The Doctor and the companions and what happened behind closed doors, etc., etc. And also, I moderated a panel talking about the Super Mario Brothers movie. And in fact, that's what you're going to hear for this installment of the PVD cast. I gotta say, it was somewhat interesting for me because, you're gonna hear me say it, I never saw the 1993 version of the Super Mario Brothers movie. So I had to watch it Saturday morning. And so I guess I kind of didn't really understand why there was this kind of hostility between people that love the 93 movie and people who are very concerned or outright hate the 2023 movie, which I know you're saying it hasn't come out yet, John, but the trailers have dropped and there's been several different trailers and people are very much up in arms over who they've cast for Mario and Luigi and Bowser and whatnot. So we're going to talk all about that. And talk about our fandom of Super Mario Brothers and whatnot. It's going to be an absolutely awesome episode. I hope that you enjoy it. I know it's going to be a little bit of a different type of panel because the other ones I've posted earlier this year have been more of an interview-based like panel where this is going to be me interacting with the 50 or 60 people that showed up at that convention hall. And hopefully you can hear all the questions. If not, I apologize for that. The audio is as it is. But nonetheless, I think I'm starting to ramble a little bit. So I need to pay some bills, so to speak, and thank a great sponsor of this podcast, World's Greatest Comics. You know, Jeff and the fine folks of World's Greatest were also on the merchandise floor at GalaxyCon. They were selling their wares, and I guarantee you, if you stopped by that table, you walked away with some primo stuff, because Jeff has everything you need for your fandom. He's got single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, collections, toys, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. I mean, I guarantee you that that particular setup this past weekend had probably at least a dozen books that you need in your collection. So, you didn't catch World's Greatest Comics at GalaxyCon. That's okay. You could still visit the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. And with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear the Super Mario Brothers panel from this year's GalaxyCon. All right, ladies and gents, we'll go ahead and get it kicked off here. For those that came in just a few moments ago, allow me to introduce myself. My name is John Orlando. I am a podcaster that lives here in Columbus, Ohio. I won't really talk too much about my projects now. I'll do that at the end. But we're here to discuss the Super Mario Brothers movie, the 1993 version, and the one that is dropping, I believe, next April, if I remember correctly. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, real quick, just a couple of quick reminders that I have here from folks at GalaxyCon. Ultimately, look, let's try not to use explicit profanity or keep our discussion civil. If you have something to say, just allow me to please moderate it. Last night, Star Wars panel got a little bit where everybody's talking over top of each other and made it very difficult to understand questions. So, and let's just have a good time. Are you guys ready to have a good time?
Yeah.
Come on, I think you'd be louder than that. I said, are you ready to have a good time?
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Let's start talking about Super Mario Brothers. Let's talk about the 1993 film first, shall we? We'll go in correct order. All right, we have some fans. Okay, I have a confession to make. And this confession is poignant to what we're talking about. So a couple weeks ago when I received notification that I was going to host this panel, I realized that I had never watched this movie, ever, okay? So I will state this, that I will, for the benefit of being fair, I will take a look at this film as I watched it early this morning. I took it as 1993 John, okay? Not 2022 John. So I will not have a very harsh, if you're expecting a harsh review, I will not have one. I'm going to give you the honest one. It's not going to be a super sweet one either, okay? So let's go ahead and dive in, shall we? So anybody want to explain, maybe tell us why you watched this film in the first place? How about you, Matt? You were the woohoo people. Go ahead.
Riff-tracks.
What?
Riff-tracks. MST3K type of commentary over it.
So you watched that first? And then you watched the movie.
Well, no, I watched it with the movie.
Oh, with the movie. So, you went right in conjunction with it, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Yes, in the back.
Bowser looked weird.
Yes, indeed. There was lots of people that looked weird. And also, I'm glad she asked the question, because now I realize there's children in the room, so I will refrain from my usual cursing and whatnot. Hey, I do. I curse like a sailor. I'm sorry. Anyways. All right. Well, let's talk about the cast. You have, of course, Bob Hoskins as Mario, John Leguizamo as Luigi, and then Koopa, of course, played by Dennis Hopper, and then the oddball one that took me by surprise, Mojo Nixon as Toad? I mean, when you think of great musicians from the 80s and 90s, I don't really think of Mojo Nixon, but still, that was kind of a surprise. So, what do we think about this casting so far?
Bob Hodgson was really good in it.
Who?
Bob Hodgson and Luke.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a good fit for Mario, I think.
They tried their best. They admit they were drunk half the time on set.
You know what? Thank you. We were going to address the elephant in the room that they had to have a few drinks in them to get through the shooting day. But, I mean, who am I to judge? I mean, I did a few rails before this started. No, I'm kidding. Kids don't do drugs. That was a joke. That was very inappropriate. I'm so sorry. My bad. I do not do drugs, just to clarify. Anyways.
But what I understand from the behind-the-scenes stuff that coming out years later is like every day they were given new scripts and new stuff to do, and they're like, what is going on? And what they signed on primarily was to completely different from what they came out of.
Yes, indeed, that is something. And I guess, does anybody have any ideas, like, maybe why that was? Like, yes?
No.
Sir?
The director had no idea what in the world Mario was.
Yeah, I think that, like, when I did some research earlier this morning, after watching the film, you know, I was kind of curious about that. And I have an opinion. I don't know. I'll throw it out there. You could tell me whether you agree or disagree. I know that Morton and Jankel were the two behind it. I believe they were married, or were they just together?
Yeah,
they were married? Okay. And I don't know. I think at times throughout the history of Hollywood, especially over the last, say, 40 years since the 80s, I think people that make music videos, there's no middle ground for their directing talent. I think they're really awesome or they're really lousy. And so I wonder if that is maybe because Morton and Jankel, that's predominantly what they did besides Max Headroom, which Max Headroom kind of was like a music video in its own right. So I think that a lot of times when you get those directors that they're not used to shooting a big, giant, big budget picture. I don't know. Am I wrong? You feel free to tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, it's like David Fincher's story. He started out with music videos. He got to do Alien 3. And of course, for him, in his defense, it wasn't a pleasant experience because people were kind of watching over him and kept like, no, don't do this. He's like, can I just do my job, basically?
Right. And then later, Fincher directed some awesome films.
Yes. He's just like, I'm never doing this again. He's like, I made 7. He's like, you know what? Never mind. I can do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? On my theory that music video directors make pretty lousy big picture. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like you've seen a lot of those. Like, look, I'm not a big fan of Mick G. I've never liked any of his stuff, his music videos, or his Charlie's Angels, et cetera, all that he's done.
Oh, that's what he's
doing. Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I feel like he was a lousy music video director, and he's a lousy Hollywood director.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure he's really concerned about what I have to say. Old Little John.
Maybe, but he's probably goes like, I have far too much money to care at this
point. Yeah, exactly. As he lights his cigars with $100 bills, he's like, ha-ha, John, in Columbus, Ohio, I don't care that you don't like my stuff because I'm rich and not.
And then he quickly has to cool out the dog. He's like, need to pay my taxes that I haven't been paying.
Mario, you're here! Oh! So many times over the last 2 weeks, I've written you letters hoping that you and Luigi would come.
Unfortunately, Luigi couldn't make it.
Oh, man. That's okay. Thank you for coming, Mario. We appreciate it. Thanks very much.
So anyway.
I'm not going to say anything, make any jokes over there with that dude. He's got a giant axe.
Self-defense.
For who? Not me. I don't have an axe. I have water bottle. That's it. I think water bottle loses to axe every single time.
What if you're Bugs Bunny?
Also, just remember that the princess is in another castle.
What? Wait a minute. Run that past me again.
Get it? Because at the end.
Oh, yes. Okay. Got it. Sorry about that. Anyways, so I will say this as I started to dive in this morning watching this film. Because Mario, no offense, I haven't watched your fantastic film from 1993 until this morning. Because I don't know why. I have no idea. It's not like I have anything against Nintendo or Super Mario. In fact, I would like to have what my friends and I like to call Nintendo money, which is very similar to Mick G money. Only cooler, because it's not McG. Anywho, I'm still waiting for the cease and desist order to come any minute now from McG saying, stop saying my name! Anyways,
I did watch the trailer, and I really did thoroughly enjoy the fact that the trailer used The Power, that old rap song by Snap, because I'm an old guy and I like old rap. So I like that a lot. I thought that that was great. But let's talk about some of these scenes and whatnot. So I have a question. Was it really necessary to have mob boss Scapelli in this film?
No.
Okay. Because really, honestly, he didn't do anything. I know he kind of opened the portal, but couldn't you have just had, like, I don't know, some other random college kids, since they were already digging in the dirt, like, accidentally open up? Is it the cease and desist order? Is it? Is that who's at the... Oh, good. Okay. Hey, guys. How's it going? Hey. How's it going? Yeah. Batman has to go fight crime, I think. Yeah. That's exactly it.
He has a real job.
Yeah, right. I have a wonderful retort, but there are children in this building, so I will not. In this room, there are children who don't want to hear such gutter filth. Anyways, well, they actually, I take that back. They want to hear it. Their parents don't want me to say it. So anyways, moving on. Yeah, I felt like the whole mob boss thing, and as well, I didn't think that the missing Brooklyn girls really had a major point to this movie either. Am I wrong on that?
I think they were kidnapped to try to find Peach or something like that, and that was about it.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like there was any real, I don't know, it didn't go anywhere, that storyline, much like the stereotypical mob boss Scapelli. Anyways, so I enjoy the fact also that a true 90s trope happened in this movie early on. Well, no, sorry, middle of the way. You know, I love how in the 90s we always got these protagonists who you look at and go, this fatso's never going to be able to outrun anything. And yet, credit to Bob Hoskins, I'm not dissing him, but Mario, he was pretty agile and quick, I must say. When he was running down those halls and that, he was pretty agile and quick. I respect that. It kind of reminds me of Charles Barkley. It was kind of the round mound of rebound, if you will. So, true 90s trope, but good for Bob Hoskins. Let's move along here. So, what do we think about Dennis Hopper? Let's talk about it. It's kind of a major point. What do we think?
It's really entertaining to watch.
He's entertaining. He chooses scenery like nobody.
Oh, my goodness, does he not? All right, anybody else like Dennis Hopper's work?
I enjoyed watching him more in that than I did in Blue Velvet, because after watching him in that, I was like, oh dear, because he's quite frightening in that one.
You know, that's very... Side note. Can we take a side note for a minute? Can we pull off this main highway just for a moment?
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. Well, probably because most of the time in my life, if I turn this car around, if I pull over, John! Anyways, I'm sorry, this is not my personal therapy. This is supposed to be a panel discussion. Anyways... yeah, Dennis Hopper. Okay. His role in Blue Velvet was creepy, but I give him a pass because I think it was supposed to be creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Because out of all the Lynch films, I think that one was the one that disturbed me the most because I number one, understood it the most, gotta say. But I think he was perfect in that. And I actually saw kind of a little bit of that character in his portrayal of King Koopa as well.
Yeah,
I thought that there was a little bit there. So I enjoyed, I think he was a bright spot in the movie. Anytime he was on the screen, except for that one time where it got really creepy when he was trying to kiss Daisy. And yeah, the snake tongue and all that, that was really, you guys came in right at the perfect time. Snake tongue, what, huh? Anyways.
Wasn't there also a scene where he like was ordering a pizza or something when there was something dramatic happening simultaneously in the movie?
Yeah. He was ordering like something that had all these weird ingredients to it.
And it's just kind of like, okay,
go ahead, ma'am. Yeah, it had nothing whatsoever to do. It was like they just shoehorned it in. They thought it would be funny.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't.
At that point, I was just expecting John Cleese to be moving in on a desk going, and now for something completely different.
Yeah.
One thing that movie did confirm was Mario Morrow and Luigi Mario are actually their names.
Yeah, I thought that gave me a chuckle today. I will say.
I honestly wasn't sure if they did that for a joke or if they really could not come up with any good names.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
it's just like, what's your name? Mario. What's his name? He's also Mario.
Yeah.
Really? Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I thought they gave me a chuckle. I thought that was pretty. That was pretty clever. In the back, sir.
Counterpoint: they are the Mario Brothers, so they didn't come out of nowhere. But that doesn't stop from being a kind of stupid decision.
Agreed. Agreed. Although I also enjoyed, I don't know why this made me chuckle as well. As I enjoyed the side of the van that had the Mario Brothers logo on it, that looked like it was like an old bakery truck. I don't know why. I kind of chuckled at that too, and I kind of dug that. The ending was completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was like, what? So she just shows up and is like, hey, let's go on another adventure. I think everybody's psychologically scarred enough they don't need another adventure. I mean, at this point in time,
they were setting up for a sequel that never came.
Well, yeah. And I mean, when you look at, I mean, what do you mean that never came? I mean, here they had a budget of $42 to $48 million and they made 38.9 back. I mean, that's not a major loss.
Well, it is for Nintendo when they watch it and they're sitting there and they're going, we've made a huge mistake.
Right, true. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could say that because it's not my millions of dollars.
Yeah.
As we have clarified, I don't have any. So, so one of the things that I think we discussed, you discussed too, there was a ton of rewrites as I dived in and researched a little bit again, breaking my kind of streak of not seeing this. It seemed that there was a constant like battle between should we make it kind of dark and brooding and adult, or should we make it more kid-friendly, and it kind of went back and forth. So I'd like to hear from you folks. What would have, if it went as a kid-friendly movie, what would you expect to see on the screen if you were, you know, if that happened? What do you think? That was the big thing. Thank you. That was the big thing I missed. I was like, there's no Mushroom Kingdom. There's nothing here that, you know, that connects. Yes.
Honestly, I feel like either way they could have went with it still wouldn't feel like Mario.
Why do you feel that way? Can I ask?
Because, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, a me thing. But to me, like, I just can't see, like, Mario. Mario was just, like, such a cartoony character. It would be like seeing Mickey Mouse, like, as a real life.
Okay, good point.
So,
good
like
point.
Live action basically just doesn't seem to suit Mario. Basically, I mean, I agree too.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
And with the balancing, like, of having a really dark tone and the kid friendly, so like you can balance those out. I mean, if you look at any Disney movie, there's a good healthy balance of the dark, and it's just one just can't overcome the other. It's got to be balanced
agreed.
Out.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. And I think that they had the opportunity to kind of, as you said, well put, balance it out between the two. And for whatever reason, it certainly did not end up that way. Here's now, and I'm going to say this as far as I researched, the movie's not streaming anywhere. I mean, I think Amazon Prime has it, and that's it. Oh, wait, is it?
No, I was going to ask you where you watched it, because we've been trying to watch it now that the movie's coming out. We wanted to love Mario.
Well, if you surf the internet, you can find it. Hey, wait a minute, is that recording back there? I don't want any proof that I just said that, okay? I don't need the feds coming. It's bad enough McG's coming for me. I don't need the feds. Actually YouTube. Yeah, it's sectioned off in parts, which was a little bit annoying. So that's how they get it. I assume get around that the full film is up there. But
so YouTube, like in early days, whenever you wanted to watch a movie that was conveniently there, it was just every part one, part two, part three.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. So it was slightly annoying, but I couldn't believe, because I'll be honest, I'm a big fan of Tubi. I love that app. I mean, it's got all these oddball films that I love. I'm a huge fan of blaxploitation films, and they have those on there, and I watch a lot, and I'm like, it's got to be on Tubi. This is right up their alley. No, it's not. I'm like, what?
Probably
so,
licensing issues, or Nintendo's like, we'd like to no one to know that this exists.
Do you think Nintendo probably has a secret squad of people that like rounded up all the prints?
I would. Maybe that's
I'd
be shocked otherwise, honestly.
You'd be
because Nintendo is... simultaneously, we love them, but they also do a lot of heinous things that make us really angry.
Yeah, actually, and I mean, I'm sure Nintendo has a ninja squad to take out their competitors. Yes, in the back.
I actually own the DVD of that.
You know what? Physical media, people make fun of me, but I love physical media. Anybody else love physical media? Make some noise if you do. There you go. Because it never fails that either A, you can't find it, or B, you have it, and you're like, oh, I can't wait, and then the power goes out, or your internet craps
and
out.
And you don't have to worry about, like, a corporation telling you what you can and can't watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of physical media. In fact, let's go for another poll real quick. Make some noise. If you still have VHS and a VCR. You're my people. All right. I like it. I like it. I do too. In fact, I get sometimes made fun of for it because they're like, is that a VCR? I'm like, yes, it is. Visitors to my home.
I have a vinyl record player.
Vinyl. Well, vinyl's kind of hip now to bring back.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Are VCRs hip yet? Does anybody know? Is it like hip to have one back?
Kind of.
Is it? No.
I have a hipster thing.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. You cursed before I did. It was just a matter of time before someone did. Anyways, sorry, folks. Sorry, children. Don't curse, please. It's not nice. Yes. I have not. Yeah. Yeah. I believe Antoine Fuqua was the same way, too. I think he did a bunch of music videos and then went off to do Training Day. And his, what was the other one that came after Training Day? I can't remember the other. He had another cop one, but I can't remember. But yeah, we're join us to 1993. We're taking a trip back in time to. Oh, okay. Well, now I feel old. Thank you so very much. Anyways. Yes. Yeah, because physical media is awesome. It never goes bad unless, you know, like your VCR eats the tape or whatnot. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. All right, last little bit here before we kind of move into the new one that is coming here in April in 2023. Just as a personal thing that, you know, I've mentioned how some things have gave me a little bit of a chuckle as I watched this morning this film. I really enjoyed the police cars when they picked up Toad and Luigi and Mario. To me, it kind of reminded me of like the old Mad Max cars because I was a big fan of Mad Max. Still am a big fan of Mad Max. I really dig those movies. And I thought that that was really kind of cool. And I also would say that I think that the from looking at it online, I think Super Mario Brothers had a pretty awesome soundtrack. Speaking of music. With CDs, I mean, Queen was on there, Megadeth, The Vinyls, Extreme, George Clinton. I knew there was another one. So that's a pretty powerhouse group of people to have on your soundtrack. So
it's all stuff you never would associate with Mario.
Right. That was the other thing. I'm like, Megadeth, really, yeah. Really? Okay.
But you could say the same with Queen and Batman.
Sure, you could as well. Absolutely. All right, any questions, any comments anybody else want to talk about in regards to 1993's version? Yes?
I have not seen this movie, so I didn't look it up. I looked up one picture of the two together. Mario looks like the creepy uncle, and Luigi looks like the cool cousin.
Well, you're correct on that, especially because they probably were hammered when they took that photo. I'm just saying, I mean, you know, so that adds to it. Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt this panel discussion for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got everything you need for your fandom. So you want to stop over to the store. It's located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty darn active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics.
I'm sorry, Mario. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to look into it, do research on it. But apparently the movie was used to promote Super Mario All-Stars, that collection. Is that partially true?
That's a great question. I did not run across that in my research. Can anybody? Yes? You don't know about that? I don't know. That's a very good question.
It would be a really odd thing. It's like, so you want us to make a feature film to promote a re-release of various Mario games that you're remaking for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like,
And they make a crappy movie at that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, geez. Sir. Started the what? I did not notice that.
Because when they were so, you know, they during because of the directors.
Yeah.
One scene where Luigi's driving the car and they turned the corner,
mm-hmm.
the car actually tipped on his leg.
I did not notice that.
Ouch.
So the guy that played Mario for a few scenes, you can see him with like an actual man.
Really?
Back to where you were saying where he can, yeah, he was running.
Like Harrison Ford in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, John Lewis actually broke his hand. He was on painkillers and I started drinking and broke his career, unfortunately. He's like, it took me years to get cleaned up because of that movie.
And I'll start with the Mario movie.
I cursed the day that I saw him.
Yeah.
At least he did Roger Rabbit.
Sir.
I realized that, I'm not sure, have we seen the new Nintendo Direct for the second trailer?
Don't believe so.
Okay, so yeah, they had the voice actor for Peach and Donkey Kong. So they had Seth Rogen, who was voiced Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
They had him interview, like get interviewed in the direct. But after they played the direct, they played the trailer, and he didn't have any no dialogue when they showed Donkey Kong. That was kind of weird to me.
Yeah, see, in the trailer that I watched the other day, there wasn't. I don't think there was any dialogue either. He just growled and then kicked the crap out of Mario, and so you know. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the new one that's coming out, 2023. From what I understand, and again, for those of you that came in midway through this panel, I freely admit, when I was assigned this panel, I was like, I have never seen the 1993 movie. So I was totally ignorant to it and watched it this morning. And so I need to know why there's a little bit, dare I say, hostility between the two camps. I know there's people that really enjoyed the 93 version, and there's some that are very upset with this reboot. And this, I believe you asked about my opinion of Chris Pratt.
Right. I've never liked Chris Pratt. I think he's a little cocky, but I really think he should have done a Mario voice. And the guy who actually voiced Mario was here today.
Yes, he is. Yes, Martin, absolutely. Okay, other thoughts? How many people agree with her that maybe the acting by Chris Pratt is not very well done?
I mean, man. It's
ooh,
like,
wow. Okay.
It's like he was.
Okay. Well, that's what I was going to say. If I may, real quickly, one of my other passions here in life is professional wrestling, and there's always those times where you hear of a wrestler getting the wrong type of heat or X-Pac heat because people don't like you because you suck, not because you're doing your job and you're making people hate you because you're the bad guy. And I just wanted to know, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. Is it that Chris Pratt is very popular, he's a nice guy, and he's all over the place all the time? Is there some of that, like, I've had enough of you, I don't want to see you anymore? Yes, a lot of people, okay.
I just think he's cast wrong. I don't have nothing against him. I think he was fine in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's okay in Jurassic Park.
That's what I've seen him as. You just don't see that kind of rustic, arrogant kind of attitude in Mario.
Yeah. True, very true. Okay, did you have a question, sir? You know what?
Yeah.
That's why I said, and I even though I made a joke about it, but I said, depending on the situation, is I like him, but he has to be in the right role. Yeah. He has to be because I agree with what you said. Is it seems that he's still Andy from Parks and Rec in certain things, and it's like, Mario. Yeah.
And you know, maybe this is just me, but I think maybe what the voice that Chris was trying to go for was like maybe like a gruff Brooklyn accent type of.
Yeah, I think that, I agree.
Charles
I agree.
Even said that was I think that's what he originally thought of for Mario, and he's like, no, that can't be right. And that's when he went to the voice that we know today. Personally, I heard about, on Parks and Rec, he did stuff that he was not supposed to do. Like, they would tell him he needs to do certain scenes. And he would do them, but not the way that he was supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I'm just leaving it at that. But he just doesn't put any effort into the accent at all, really.
Okay. And you know what? And he's the same thing they said about Ricky Gervais with The Office. Like, he would just purposely sabotage scenes just to try to be funny, and it just fell flat. Yes,
I think maybe one of the reasons they hired him is because they want a nice vanilla, not too Italian to be offensive, plain normal tofu type stuff. Because they just want him to be the nice normal guy, and that's maybe what they went with, instead of someone who was a little bit more Brooklyn or more Italian, because they didn't want to be offensive. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, sir, over there.
I just, well, this is kind of like for like Chris Pratt and all the other actors in the film. I mean, I love all of them, but like, I remember Tara Strong made this statement about the film, and I firmly agree with it. It's that I think that professional voice actors should be allowed to just be the ones chosen to do animated films.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I bet 10 to 1, these film companies and whatnot go, well, it's all the same. But actually, voice acting is very different than regular acting. I think that that's probably what that misconception is. Well, we can get whoever. Like, if you want my honest opinion, I think the weakest link is Anna Taylor-Joy. I just feel like I have not seen any of her movies where I've gone, wow, that was amazing. Like, so for me, as I wrote down in my notes, I feel like she's the weak link, in my opinion, of this reboot. Yes, sir. Good point. Like reverse engineer the role, kind of. Yeah, that's a very good point. Absolutely, yes.
Well, I was going to add to what she said, basically, yeah, that I think like actors can make good characters in like TV shows and movies that are animated. Because I was going to say one of my favorites was Jesse Courtney, and he did music, and then he did acting, and then he did voice acting.
Yeah.
Like he kind of went all over the place.
Multifaceted.
Yeah.
All right, over here.
Yeah. I think even within this movie, there are actors who are very popular with Jack Black who do a great job. I think he does a great job with Bowser. And it's clear that the difference is not that he's this big actor who's playing this role. It's because he actually came and he's putting in the kind of effort to do the job. And I don't feel that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes.
Yeah, he did, absolutely.
You know, absolutely.
20 takes.
Go ahead. 20 takes?
Yes.
20 takes later, we got it. Print, moving on. Go ahead.
One thing that a lot of people were looking for this trailer for months, but I honestly didn't want to watch it when it first came out because everybody was really hyped about it because he announced from the moment that he was casted that he refuses to do a Mario accent. He announced it very early on that he was not going to do an accent for the character. Even when he was casted, he said, I refuse to do it, I won't do it, I don't care, this is what I want to do. And they did that. They knew that he wasn't going to do a Mario accent and still cast him. So when everybody's like all freaked out now, he's announced that he was going to do a Mario accent from the start. It's not like it's going to change now.
All right, let's go in the back.
So for me, my gripe is, it's also the fact that Mario,
what do you mean? I think Christopher Walken would be so much better in that role. Anyways,
Danny DeVito would have been a good option.
I'm walking here. yeah, but sort of towing the line between an actor you can recognize, but it's not distracting. That they didn't have that kind of range.
Okay, up here, up front here.
I think more on what she said. Chris Pratt just doesn't really seem like he really wants to do that role that much. Mm-hmm. And doesn't really care that much about the Mario series as a whole. because for the first direct for the trailer, he had a very hard time coming up with like an enemy when saying, "God, I remember like stomping Koopas." And I think the only reason why he remembered that was because Koopas were very prominent in the movie.
Okay.
It took him 3 seconds to come up with an answer.
With an answer. It wasn't automatic. All right. Let's go over here.
I also wanted to say real quick, despite, Jack Black voice and Bowser, which I think was actually a decent choice, I'm actually kind of glad that, like, they also chose, Keegan Michael Key voice in total. Because, he has, like, a really good talent with his comedy style. And,
mm-hmm.
It was just enjoyable
hearing
his voice.
The funny thing, though, is I was taking notes. I was like, I literally wrote down Jack Black Toad because I automatically assume Jack Black will do the musical thing because of Tenacious D and whatnot. So I wrote that down, and then later I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's not right. That's not right at all. And then I started thinking, I was like, is that the right move? I mean, with all due respect to Keenan Michael Key, can he do the music that might be in that script? If there is, maybe there's none. Maybe they're just like, we'll cut that out. We don't care. This is no music. All right, let's go back over here.
For me, Chris Pratt isn't doing the accent, which is kind of funny, but it's not like that personally. But he looks at Keegan Michael Key's voice, he's not doing an accent either, but he is putting in the effort.
Yeah. Oh, Disney money. So far, it's Disney money, Nintendo money, McG money. Anyways, you all, thank you so very much for still laughing at that joke, because really, I've beat a dead horse with that one, haven't I? Anyways, all right, let's go up top here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, to go back to your point about Peach, like, her voice actress, to me personally, doesn't give me Peach. Like, I know that you're trying to stray away from, like, the gamble and the stress thing, but you can do that without being so serious.
Yeah, there's just some... In while watching that trailer, I was just like, to me, there was no, I don't know what the word was, but it was missing something. And I was like, okay. And I don't, like, it was missing like some gravitas at certain points. Like, I'm like, I would laugh at this because I would, with not being offensive, but I would be like, you're giggling like a teenage girl. You're supposed to be this powerful princess who's not going to take crap from Bowser and whatnot, and you're saying these lines, I'm like, yeah, I'm not intimidated by that at all, yeah, by any instance. All right, sir.
They also said Charles would be playing somebody in a movie, and I feel like he would be perfect for Peach. Like, he's kind of that weird kid that everyone's
talking about.
Probably.
All right, let's go back to the back corner. What? Wait, what? That's where you draw the line, right there, man. Right there.
Except that.
That's where I cross the line, man. All right, way, way in the back. Mr. The guy with the red hat there, sir. True.
He's Silent Bob most of the time.
To piggyback on that, if he was doing a Italian accent, everyone would be trying to cancel him for cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, that's probably a possibility.
It's a lose-lose situation. Chris Pratt money, and everyone that feels one way or the other about it is still going to go see the movie, and they're going to make money.
Yeah, and I think it was mentioned up here, absolutely, that, look, Charlie Day, though he's not doing an accent, is putting in some effort that it seems, at least in the trailer. I don't know, maybe that's just the pinnacle of his performance in that trailer, but it seems like he's actually, he's giving it, where, from what I'm gathering from everybody, the big deal with Chris Pratt is, like, he's just phoning it in. All right, he's just whatever. Okay, sir in the back in the green shirt. I mean, it is green, right? I don't know. You're way far away from me, and I should be wearing glasses. Anyways.
I think the hard part is that, Mario's voice that we all grew up with, we all love, we all know exactly how it sounds and everything. And the voice from Mario, Charles Martinet, the
Okay. Right here.
My pitch. Danny DeVito as Mario.
You know what? That's my next... You know what? Let's do that because that was my next question. All right. So if indeed, I jotted it down, if indeed Chris Pratt is not what the vast majority of you have said is your ideal Mario, who is out there? Who would be a better fit for the role? Go ahead. You? All right. Okay, Charles Marionette. Okay, obviously. In the back?
Chris Pratt.
Okay, now he's just saying it ironically.
All right, how about up here?
I also want to say one more thing.
Sure.
Does anybody remember King Ezekiel from The Walking Dead?
Yes.
I just looked up that he actually voices like the King Penguin from March.
Really?
All right, over here. Who would be a better Chris Pratt than Chris Pratt? That made no sense. Wait a minute. Time out. Who would make a better Chris Pratt than Chris Pratt? I don't know. Who would make a better Mario than Chris Pratt? Keanu Reeves.
Actually, I think that'd be fine. I don't think anyone would complain because, like, it's Keanu Reeves.
That, I think a lot of celebrities will get hate on, and then sometimes years later, people forgive him. Like, Keanu Reeves is a great example. Like, for The Matrix, everyone was like, he's so monotone, he was so bland.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm just glad that because of the mediation students, it doesn't have a single fart joke in it.
All right.
Yeah, or like in the other Illumination movies where they make those other innuendos like Rudy naked or like showing a butt or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, my biggest thing is that don't make Mario and Luigi look like complete idiots.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm glad about that. It's like, hey, Illumination, you can do something other than produce like kids. Like, just
dive and try. All right, let's go way in the back.
We need Roger Craig Smith to do it.
All right, over here.
Ryan Gosling.
Ooh. Ryan Gosling. You know what? I'm going to confess something. I have a man crush with Ryan Gosling. I do. So that gets my vote.
Good work,
you know?
Actually.
Yeah, listen, people make fun, but I think he's the best American actor that we've seen in the last 10-15 years. I'm just saying that. I'm going out on a limb. Go ahead.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. All right. Well, that's not a bad one. Clear in the back. You stole mine. I was going to say Nicolas Cage because yes. I think that would be...
That would have been amazing.
That would be amazing. That would be awesome. You, sir. Oh, okay, that's one I did not expect. All right, over here. Who? Hank Azaria. You know what? That actually wouldn't be a bad one. Hank Azaria, I think, could pull it off, actually.
He could pull off Genie in Kingdom Hearts. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think Hank Azaria would be the forerunner if I was casting this bad boy. Tim Allen.
If he would be Buzz Lightyear, then how could he be Mario?
Wait a minute. Does he bring Al with him? That's what I need to know. If Tim Allen gets to vote, does he get to have Al with him?
Yes.
What about Wilson?
Yes.
We'll just find different ways in the Mario world to make sure that you only see Milt Wilson like this. All right. All right. Hey, little man right here. Go ahead.
Robert De Niro.
Not a bad choice. Mario, what say you?
Seth
McFarlane.
Okay.
All right, sir. Okay. All right.
Oddly enough, I would actually really like to see Rob Williams in it because of how Robin Williams, because of how passionate he is about his characters and how much his range of like from like Mrs. Darcy to like him and Jumanji. Like,
okay.
He has a really wide range of like his motivation.
Okay.
Could you imagine Jim Carrey?
You know what, Jim Carrey, or this, and this one might be way over. I don't know. Some people may not be familiar with the greatness of this individual, but Tommy Wiseau would be fantastic. I mean, can you just picture that? Like, yeah, no, he would be great. he would wait 40 seconds to say the line, and the action would just totally be wrong. Tommy Wiseau, that's who I'd like to see play Mario. But go ahead.
I just wanted to ask before what's one thing you want to see in the Mario movie? For me, I want to see the Mario rap.
You know, so I'm going to throw this out there. In the trailer, the one thing that I said I felt was a positive was I think the animation looks really good. I mean, visually, it's going to be an amazing a film to see, especially, you know, in a big, giant, you know, 4K theater or whatnot. I think it's going to be amazing. I think that's a positive. Now, I've seen lots of movies that look great, but the plot sucks. So therefore, you go, well, that was what it is, I guess. But I feel like that is one thing, and I like that they moved in Mario Kart and they have a lot of the different things from the universe in it. So I think those are two positives. All right, let's go in the back again. All
right, so for real though, let Mark Wahlberg do it. Let him do his typical Boston accent, and then he's actually going to go.
All right, up front here. Okay.
So I know that they can do good animation, not great, but good. So my biggest fear is that the plot is going to be very, like, baby-fied.
Probably. Yeah, that's probably a good point. That is.
Like, from the trailers, it just looked like they were just, like, shoving everything that's Mario into one trailer. Like,
yeah. But see, I kind of, again, from the trailer, I'm interested to see that. But, you know, I mean, again, it could be a case like I always say with Green Lantern. Green Lantern would have been a great movie if you just stuck to, like, one thing. Because they tried to do 17 things with that movie. And it's like, no. All right, let's get the last couple here. I'm sorry, miss, I overlooked you. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I was just going to agree with you with the art direction and how they animated it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. By the way, I know him, so don't be alarmed. You don't have to call 911, which none of you were doing that. I could have been killed by this maniac. Thanks. Thanks so much.
How did you get more people than we did?
You're welcome.
Because I'm a professional. That was an inside joke. Sorry, folks. All right, sir, we haven't heard from you. We got a few more minutes here before we have to start wrapping up. So go ahead. What's on your mind? All right, sir.
I feel like if we like got a sequel to the Mario movie, which I could do, I feel like it could be about like Luigi's Mansion style.
Okay.
Or maybe if like Illumination and Paramount work together, they can make a Mario and a Sonic movie.
Oh yeah, that would okay. All right, okay, sir, right back there, and then I think we're gonna have to start wrapping things up. Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see in April when this film comes out. Here, bottom line, I think that, and I'm just going to leave with this little poignant thought before plugging some stuff of mine. Look, I think, like, last night I hosted a Star Wars After Dark panel, and I think one of the things that I mentioned, because I believe it, is that in pop culture, you remember the first thing that you... the first time you saw a movie or the first time you played with a toy or et cetera, et cetera. And when their reboots come out or when sequels come out, they never measure up. And I think that this is a prime example. We all have some connection to Mario Brothers, all right, Super Mario Brothers, whether it's the film of the game or whatever. And for us, we have that particular opinion that's already set in stone because it's a part of our childhood. It's a part of our nostalgia and whatnot. And that's cool. And that's awesome. And you're just going to have to take this movie and maybe with a grain of salt when it comes to the theater and go, you know what? This is not my Mario Brothers. So, Folks, thank you very much. A couple of quick things, if you will. I did not get a chance early enough to put postcards out on chairs. As I mentioned, I'm a Columbus podcaster. I run a podcast called the PVD Cast. It is focuses on various different pop culture topics, such as hockey, wrestling, movies, and comics. On the back of them, you can find where you can find where you can get the podcast. PVDcast.com is my website, which actually has links to a couple of other projects that I work on. This guy and I do a Matlock podcast.
Great for grandparents.
That's right. I said Matlock podcast. That's right. The only one that's actually on the planet, I think. Nobody else likes Andy Griffith lawyer dramas, apparently, except for us. Anyways, it's there. We also have a cool project that we just kicked off about a month ago called the Larry Hankins Stories, where we are working with character actor extraordinaire Larry Hankins to produce some really cool content, like his growing up, his early career, you know, life on the road. He's got all kinds of cool stories. We got a lot of merch over there as well. So it's also available through, the link is through pvdcast.com. Thank you very much. If you enjoyed this, please let GalaxyCon know. This is my first year doing these here at GalaxyCon, and I really do appreciate the opportunity and the support. Folks, have a great evening. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Yours truly, moderating the Super Mario Brothers movie panel. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I hope maybe you learned a little bit like I did as to why this group of fans are so passionate about these characters in the Super Mario Brothers world. And so, if you want to chime in and join the conversation, so to speak, you can do that a couple different ways. First, you can contact me by shooting me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just simply look for @pvdcast. Now, maybe you'd like to let some folks know where they can find this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that. First, it's available at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. It's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets, you know, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting app, go to the search bar, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. But there's even a more simple and direct way to catch every single weekly episode of this podcast, and that's to go over to the Facebook page and check out Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the live Facebook broadcast that I do for each particular episode. So there you go. Three easy ways to listen to this fine podcast. But there is a little catch. If you listen via one of those podcasting apps, I need you to rate, review, and subscribe, because rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribing means you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. And if you join me during the Facebook broadcast, please make sure that you like the video, that you like what you're seeing. That also lets Facebook know that you're listening. And, you know, all of this is very important to podcasters because, again, it helps us out tremendously. So please rate and review and subscribe and like over on Facebook. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.